We are holding on Dalet Amud Aleph, the ninth line. I should mention, by the way, that we're going to try over the next few days to get a little bit ahead of where we usually would be on the grounds of we're going to be missing at least one shiur and possibly even two because of Tisha B'Av, so we need to keep up. So we'll see what we can do. Okay, so we're in the middle of talking about... The Mishnah had told us that if a sukkah is taller than 20 amos, then it's possible, according to the Chachamim, according to the Behoda, it's kosher. But according to the Chachamim, that the halacha is like that, then we have to talk about various possible ways that you might reduce the height of it. The first one we talked about was a case where a person puts something on the floor. So we had a person puts pillows or cushions, then that doesn't count. That's not considered bottle. On the other hand, if a person put straw or dirt over there and was vatal it, then it's definitely fine. And if he puts straw, but he had no intention of clearing it, but he wasn't explicitly mevatal it, or he put dirt without saying one way or the other, then it's subject to a machloek, the Sefer B'Yesi and the Chachamim. So next, here's the next case, the Gemara says. Hoisik gvoya me'estrim ama. Suppose that the sukkah is taller than 20 amos, v'hutzin yodin v'soy chof ama, and there are branches that descend down, that hang down within 20 amos. So it depends. Im tzivosam merulam echamosam ksheira, if those branches that are hanging down below 20 all by themselves are enough to create more shade than sun, which of course is the minimum you need for a sukkah to be kosher, ksheira, then the sukkah is kosher because then we ignore the schach that's above it. The imlav psula, and if not, then it's going to be possible because those ones that are hanging down by themselves are not enough to constitute valid schach. So therefore the schach is more than 20. Now, actually, the Tosfos refers to a Gemara in Eruvin that discusses this point. One thing the Gemara discusses over there, various possibilities, one of them being that it depends, if you remove the top schach, is the bottom schach going to fall down? It might be tzilosa merov mechamasa, but it might also be there's nothing to hold it up, and it's not really, there's not enough material over there for it to stay up by itself. And if so, then the Gemara discusses, according to one opinion, that it would be possible. So how does that fit with our Gemara over here? So Tosfos answers that over here, what we have to say is that we're talking about not only that the ones that are hanging down, it's tzilosa merov mechamasa, but in addition, also they are sturdy enough that if there was something there holding them up, then they would stay, not like apparently we're talking about over there where the branches themselves that are hanging down are not even very sturdy, and therefore without the schach above them holding them up, they would in fact fall down. In the end, the Gemara there in Eruvin discusses that the halacha is when we say that a sukkah can't be taller than 20 amos, the 20 amos means the space from the floor until the bottom of the schach. So in practice, if you have, for example, some of your schach is hanging down below 20 amos and some of it is above 20, then we can consider, as long as our Gemara is saying, you have tzilosa merubah mechamasa, you have the part that's hanging down itself is enough to constitute valid schach, then the fact that the rest of the schach sticks up above that, above 20 amas, doesn't matter. That doesn't pass away. Okay. Next, what about the other way around? Hoysa gvoya yud tvachim. The other way around, what if the schach is 10 tfachim above the ground, which we said 10 tfachim is the minimum height of a sukkah, but v'hutzim yodin l'soich yud, but you have branches that are hanging down within 10 tfachim. So, Savar Abaye l'meima, so Abaye thought to say, we can apply the same rule. The same way as when we say the sukkah is 20 amas tall and you have a few branches hanging down, it's not enough to take away from the height unless tzilosa merubah mechamasa. If the chamasa merubah mechamasa, if those branches are very few and without, and with only those you would still have more sun than shade, then they don't take away from the height. Well, the same thing should apply here in reverse. If you only have a couple of branches hanging down and they're, and with those branches that are within 10 tfachim alone, you wouldn't have enough shade, then Abaye thought to say it's kosher. But Rava says no, it's a different situation because Hod Dira Sruchim. because when you have it's less than 10 tefachim tall, it's a diras srucha. It's a repulsive kind of dwelling. It's not the kind of place that a person would live in. Since the sukkah has to be a place that you're going to be able to live in, a teshvu kein taduru, so therefore, so it has to be 10 tefachim tall. Now, on Omer days, we're going to start talking about the concept that a sukkah needs to be 10 tefachim tall. We're going to learn it from a pasuk. We're going to learn it from a derivation of a pasuk. So why over here are we mentioning the question of Dira Srucha? We should just say, because the Sukkah has to be, by definition, 10 Tfachim tall. So there's a couple of explanations about it. One of them being that maybe this point of Dira Srucha would only be B'dieved. It would only be L'chatchila, rather. The Me'iri learns the Rambam that way, that L'chatchila, if you have these branches sticking down, then you shouldn't sit in it. But B'dieved, if you did, it would still be kosher. Or maybe not L'chatchila B'dieved, rather, but D'araisa and D'rabbanan. Whereas if the sukkah as a whole is not 10 tefachim tall, then it's pasul daraisa. So therefore the Gemara needs to establish that point. There's a few other explanations, one of them being that it's different in this case because you have branches hanging down, and therefore, you know, a person's trying to sit in that sukkah, and the branches are smacking him in the face. It would be different if you didn't have branches hanging down, that wouldn't be, we're going to say later on, that's possible, below 10 tefachim, but if we wouldn't call it diras srucha, because that would only be when you have the sukkah itself is 10 tall, and you have branches hanging down over there. Another point that Pnei Yeshua makes is, later on, when we talk about the derivation, that a sukkah has to be 10 tefachim tall, means the walls have to be 10 tefachim tall. But we learned before that you could have a situation where the walls are a certain height, and then the schach is further up above the walls, there's space between, you put poles above the walls, so dira srucha, it won't be a problem, it's where the schach is well over 10 tefachim above the ground. But from the point of view of mechitzis, you'd have a problem, therefore we need to talk later about how we know that the mechitzis themselves have to be 10 tefachim. Okay. Onward. Hoisa gavoya me'esri mama. Another case, what if the sukkah is taller than 20 amos? Ubanaba itzva keneged dofen hamsoya pnei kula. He built an itzva, which means a platform or a shelf or something like that, across the middle wall. Now, sukkahs in those times typically only had three walls. Nowadays, we usually make sukkahs with full four walls, but in those times, they used to generally make them with three walls. So therefore, the back wall is called Dofen HaEmtzoi, the middle wall. So now, you have a picture over here. Some Gemaras have a two-dimensional picture, so you're just looking at a bird's eye view. Others of them actually have a three-dimensional image of it. Whatever the case, the point is that you built up a platform by the side of the, in the middle of the sukkah, not in the middle, by one end of the sukkah, next to the back wall, al pnei kula, across the whole width of the sukkah, the yesh b'hechsha sukkah, this itzava by itself is at least 7 by 7 tefachim. And Rashi actually uses the expression shiva tefachim umashahu, 7 tefachim and a little bit, and there's a number of explanations among the Achronim why Rashi adds that word umashahu. Whatever the case, so this itzava that you built is large enough by itself to constitute a sukkah. So now it's kosher because what you have is from the top of that itzava by itself, all by itself is a kosher sukkah. It's less than 20 amos from it to the roof. To the sach. It has three walls, because you can see in the picture over here, the three walls of the sukkah surround it. So therefore, by itself, that's kosher to be a sukkah, and therefore we're good. Now, does that mean, what about the rest of the sukkah? Rashi learns that what it would mean is, once you say that the part above the itzva is kosher, so would the rest of the sukkah. What about in the rest of the sukkah, the schach is more than 20 amos off the ground? Rashi says, doesn't matter. We're going to learn later on in the perek about a case where you have a sukkah, and then you have some schach sticking out of the sukkah into an area that itself does not have hechsher sukkah, and nevertheless it's kosher to sit under that schach. It's called pesel hayot, psol, whatever, hayotzim in a sukkah. Psolus Gurdin Vyekev, which we're going to learn later in the parak, that's where we learn what kosher sach is. It's the leftovers from what you have from your granary or from your wine press, meaning in other words, like stalks of, like empty stalks of grain or empty vine branches or empty vine clusters. Those are the kinds of things you can use for schach. So therefore, therefore we call the schach psol or pesol, whatever. And if you have some of it sticking out of the sukkah into an area which itself is not considered a sukkah, it doesn't have enough walls, nevertheless, it's kosher to sit under. It's called psol hayotzim in a sukkah. So by the same token, Rashi says over here that if you have the area of the itzvah itself, which is a kosher sukkah, because it's at least 7 by 7, and it's got 3 walls, and it's less than 20 amos from there to the sach. Therefore, now the rest of the sukkah becomes kosher to sit in on the basis of that. Various other Rishonim disagree with Rashi on that. But, okay. Next, min hatzad, what about if instead of, there is also an opinion that says that it only works if this itzvah is within 10 tochim, if the top of the itzvah is within 10 tochim of the ground. If the top of the itzvah is above 10 tochim from the ground, then there's an argument that can be made that maybe it creates a reshus of its own, which is a point that we're going to return to on Omer Beis, and therefore maybe the rest of the sukkah wouldn't be kosher along with it. Okay. What about minatzad? What about if instead of building that itzvah on the back, along the back wall of the sukkah, he built it along one of the side walls? So there's the second diagram in the Gemara. So now what you have is that area, that itzvah has on the face of it only 2 walls. The third wall is further away. So now it depends. Im yesh misfas itzvah lakosol dalat amos, if from the edge of the itzvah until the far wall over there, the space that's the white space over here in the picture, if that is 4 or more amos, psula, then the sukkah is kosher, then the sukkah is possible, because the rest of the sukkah where you don't have the itzvah, you have more than 20 amos until the schach, so it's possible because of that. The itzvah itself can't be kosher because it doesn't have 3 walls, it only has 2 walls. Once the far wall is more than 4 amos away, is 4 or more amos away, you can't consider it a wall of that section. Pachas me'arba amos kshera. But if there's less than 4 amos from the wall until the edge of the itzvah, then it's kosher. So the Gemara asks, my kamash malon. In that case, what's the chiddush of that din? Are we saying daminan dofen akuma? The chiddush is that we say that it's as if the wall is bent, which we have later on, we're going to talk about in a couple of blocks, we're going to talk about that. There are a few things involving the chitzis that are halacha l'moshe Sinai, and one of them is the concept of dofen akuma. We're going to have more about it later in the perek as well, meaning that if you have a case like this, where you have posel schach, which in this case the schach is possible in the sense because it's more than 20 amos off the ground, but less than 4 amos width, we consider as though the wall was bent over to touch the schach that is kosher. So you're telling me the chiddush then in this case is that we apply dofen akuma, we consider as if the less than 4 amos that was there from the edge of the itzvah until the far wall, as if the wall bent over, curved over to meet the schach above the itzvah. If that's the chiddush, we don't need that. Tanena. We learn later in our parak, a Mishnah that tells us the same thing explicitly. Bayis shenifchas. The Mishnah describes a case over there of a house where the ceiling collapsed, the sikich al gabav, and then you put schach above the hole in the ceiling. Im yesh min akosel asikuch dalar amos, if between the wall and the edge of the schach is 4 amos psula, then it's possible, implying hapachas mekan ksheira. And if it's less than 4 amos, apparently it's kosher. Why? Because of dofen akuma. So we see from that Mishnah that we apply dofen akuma. So what do we need? So what do we need this din that we're saying over here in the Gemara? And Rashi explained at the beginning of this sugya that these are piskei shmuris. These are statements in halacha that were said from the Bnei HaYeshiva in the Beis Medrash of Rav Ash. So when they came to organize the Gemara and put it into the form that we have it, then they said a bunch of these dinim to be incorporated in the Gemara. But according to that, we have from the Mishnah, which is long before them, that says this din. So what are they adding? The answer is Mao de Tema, Hosam Hu de Chazula Dothan. Because otherwise you might say, you know what, the difference is because in that case of the house where the ceiling collapsed, you could say, you know why Dothan Akuma? Because the wall of it is the wall of it is suitable as the wall of a sukkah. The only problem is that you don't have schach close enough to it. So fine, within 4 hours we say Dothan Akuma as if the wall was bent over. Here the problem is not that this wall is 4 amos away from the schach. or less than 4 amas away from the sukkah. The problem is that the wall is not a wall of a sukkah because more than 20 amas. And we said a sukkah has to be less than 20 amas. So you would think, emaloi, maybe that doesn't work and we can't apply jokin akuma. Kamash malan, therefore the Bnei HaYeshiva wanted us to know that it does in fact apply and you can apply it over here. Now, then the question becomes, when it came to the first case with the iktiv of emsa, we said that Rashi says that the part off the itzvah as well counts, and you can sit in that part, even though when you're sitting in that part, the sach is more than 20 amas above you, on the grounds, again, Rashi had said, of sol hayotim in a sukkah, because when you have a sach that sticks out of the sukkah into an area that itself is not doesn't have a hechsher sukkah, then nevertheless it's kosher. Would that apply to this case of the itzvah as well? Would we say that the white area in the picture, the area that's off the itzvah, is kosher to sit in, or not? So the question really is, the Ran explains that the question really is, what is the mechanism by which Dofen Akuma works? Is it that we say that it's as if the schach, that it's as if the schach posel, which is considered to be part of the wall, as if the wall was L-shaped and that schach becomes part of the wall? In that case, we would say, no, you can't sit in that area, because the whole point is, you want that to be considered part of the wall, and now if it's a wall, you can't sit underneath it. On the other hand, maybe the idea is, Dofen Akuma makes it as though the wall itself curves and bends and comes closer to the kosher schach, and in that case, we could maybe say that the schach over here, that's above 20 amos from the ground, but it's within within 4 amos of the itzvah, maybe it would be kosher to sit in. So it depends on how you look at it. Okay. Another case, continues the Gemara. Another case, suppose the sukkah is more than 20 amas tall. Now, till now, we were talking about you built an itzvah along one side. So you have along the back wall, along the side wall. Now what happens is you built an itzvah in the middle, not next to any of the walls. If from the edge of the itzvah, and again, we're talking about that the itzvah itself is large enough to be a hechsher sukkah by itself. It's at least 7x7, like in the first case, or 7x7 umashu, or whatever. If there's 4 or more amas in every direction from the edges of the itzvah to the walls of the sukkah, then psula, then it's possible, because then again, we can't apply dofen akuma. But if it's less than 4 amas in each direction, or in at least 3 of the directions, then ksheira. So the question is, my kamash v'lon damin and dofen akuma. So what's the chiddush of this din? That we can apply dofen akuma, hainu hach. Isn't that exactly the same as what we had in the previous case? What are we adding with this one? The answer is, maybe we only say dofen akuma from one side. Maybe we can't apply it on every side. When you have one wall, which is less than 4 amas away, then fine, we say it's as if that wall bent over. But to say that by all the walls, we wouldn't necessarily say that. Now, it's one thing, in other words, again, when you have the case with a house, where the ceiling of the house collapsed, there, in fact, we are talking about the pashtus where it collapsed in the middle, and there we're saying already that we applied dofen akuma on every side. But what we already said, that there we're talking about the walls themselves intrinsically are able to be walls of a sukkah, because they're less than more than 10 tochim and less than 20 amas tall. Here we want to apply two things. We want to say that walls that are 20 amas tall and that are less than 4 amas from the itzvah, that we're going to apply dofen akuma to them. And therefore, the chiddush is that even then we do that, which we wouldn't have been able to learn that from the case of the bayis shel nifchas, because in that case, the walls are not 20 amas tall. Okay. Next, another case. Hoysa p'chusam yud tvachim. Now the other way around. What if the sukkah is less than 10 tvachim tall? V'chokat b'kadei la'ashlim ala'asara. And then he carved out an area, he carved out a hole in the floor, in order to make it that above that hole is 10 tefachim. Now again, Rashi mentions the hole itself would have to have a hechsher sukkah. It would have to be at least 7x7 tefachim. And the majority of Rishonim agree with Rashi on that. Although there are a couple of others who say that maybe not. Anyway. So you did that. So you dug out a hole in the ground. By the way, we talked about yesterday, but might as well repeat it for the benefit most people here weren't here. I don't think anybody here was here yesterday, actually. Why don't we say you have a problem of tasa v'loimina osu? You'll be here later on in the perek. We're going to talk about the case, for example, where a person took branches that were attached to a tree and put them down on his sukkah, and those are posel eschach because they're still attached to the ground. And later on, if he wants to make them kosher, it's not enough to cut them off the tree. He has to pick them up and move them, l'naneya. Why don't we say the same thing over here? The eschach over here is posel because it's above 20 amos, or below 10 tefachim, and therefore doing something outside of the schach itself is not going to be mashuret. So a basic answer that the Mefoshim give is that, in fact, the schach itself in these cases is not possible per se. There's a flaw in the sukkah, the fact that it's too tall or too small, but the schach itself is valid schach. Therefore, the fact that afterwards you're digging out the area underneath it, or the fact that afterwards you're raising the floor level below it, is not tassav alayman asu. We're going to have a similar example later on in the perek. You have an example where you have a haystack, and you dig out an area inside the haystack to make a sukkah, where as long as there was an area within the haystack that was at least 7 by 7 tefachim and 1 tefach tall, let's say, for example, I don't know, you have, let's say, when you first put up the haystack, you put inside it a wooden frame to keep an open space like that, and later on you're going to go and take out more of the hay in order to make an area 10 tefachim tall, then it would be kosher. And again, it's not tasav v'loimina asu, because then we consider that the schach that's on top was always there. It's kosher schach, there just weren't walls of the proper height underneath it. So in the same vein over here, we would say it's not tasav v'loimina asu. Okay. So again, back to the case in the Gemara. You have a sukkah that's less than 10 tefachim tall. You dug out a hole in the ground where you, and that hole has hechsher sukkah by itself. It's 7 by 7. So then, now you don't have 4 amos like you had before. Now instead you have 3 tefachim, that the edge of the hole has to be within 3 tefachim of the edge of the wall, of the nearest wall. And of course that has to be the case on 3 sides of the sukkah. And if it was less than 3 tefachim, so if it's 3 tefachim or more on every side, or on 2 or more sides, then it's posel. And if it's less than 3 tefachim on each side, then it's kosher, because less than 3 tefachim is lavud. Lavud means that you have 2 things connected together. Rashi uses over here a French word to translate the word lavud, which means the French word means something like an appendix, right? Something that was added on. Like you take something and you add something to the edges of it to make it longer. So therefore, that's what lavud is, essentially. Halacha l'moshe m'Sinai allows us to say that 2 things within 3 tefachim of each other are considered as though the thing was extended. So therefore, so if it's within 3 tefachim of the walls, then we can consider that the edges of the hole and the walls near it are considered connected together. So the question is, Maishna Hosan Da'amrit Pochas Me'aba Amos, or Maishna Hosan Da'amrit Pochas Me'shleshet Tefachim, why in the case where you need the wall, where you need the wall to curve over towards the kosher schach, we're saying you have up to 4 amos, whereas over here you're saying you only have up to 3 tefachim? So the reason is, Hosam the Isir the Dauphin, because the difference is, over there you already have a wall. The problem is that it's too tall. But once you have it, the wall is 10 tefachim tall, then it's considered a wall in halacha. So the only problem is that it's not close enough to the schach, therefore pochas ma'aba amas sagia. So as long as it's less than 4 amas away, then we can apply Dauphin akuma. Hocha the Shavuyah the Dauphin. Here the problem is, if it's below 10 tefachim tall, you don't even have a wall. The definition of a wall, as we're going to talk about at the bottom of the Amud, is that it's 10 tefachim tall, and here you don't have it. So you want to make it into a wall. So pachas m'shloisha tefachim ein, only if it's within 3 tefachim can we apply lavud, because fine, lavud we apply everywhere, even to create a mechitza where we didn't otherwise have one. Eloi, and if not, then not, because if not, then you don't have a wall there, b'chlal. Tosfos discusses at some length over here whether the same rule, would we say the same thing as far as Hilchos Shabbos, or would we say when it comes to Shabbos, then we say that a rule can be combined like that, even if they're further apart than 3 tefachim. Maybe only by Sukkah do we require a mechitza of 10 tefachim. Fine. Another case, Hoisig Gvoya Me'esru Mama, back to the case where the sukkah was more than 20 amas tall, or one of the Omuchu Gvoya Asarat Fachim, what if you built in it a pillar that is 10 tefachim tall, the Yeshbay Hechsha Sukkah, and that pillar by itself is large enough to constitute a sukkah, namely, it's 10 tefachim tall, and it's 10 tefachim tall, and it's at least 7 by 7. So the question would be, now, forgetting about the walls of the sukkah, forgetting about the walls on the side of the sukkah, those we said on Amud Aleph, that's fine, you have to be within 4 amas of there. Here we're talking about it's not necessarily within 4 amas, but the question is, the fact that the pillar itself is 10 tefachim tall, is that enough to be considered walls around 10 tefachim? Therefore, Savar Abaya Lameim, a good asik mechitzasa. Abaya thought to say that, yes, we have another halacha l'mishmi Sinai in connection with mechitzas, is good, we pull asik and we lift up mechitzasa, the mechitzas. Therefore, what we consider is that, since this pillar is 10 tefachim tall, we consider as though the walls of it were pulled up to constitute the side walls of the pillar were pulled up to constitute the walls around the top of the pillar, and therefore we have a sukkah with walls around it. And it's within 20 amas of the schach. So therefore, in other words, according to that, we wouldn't care the fact that it's more than 4 amas away from the walls, and it would still be kosher. Amalei Rava says no, but in mechitzas ani kares v'lekta. No, what you have to have is you have to have mechitzas that are recognizable, and you don't have it because when you're standing on top of the omud, you don't see the mechitzas. Well, you do. You see mechitzas further away from you, but those are more than 4 amas away, and therefore those don't count. The mechitzas that you want to rely on are the side surfaces of the pillar. You don't see those around you when you're standing on top of the pillar. Therefore, it doesn't work. Tosfos points out later on in the Masechta, we're going to have a case where you have something without walls, but you have a roof on top of it, and then we say the edge of the roof, pitikra yored v'soysin, that the edge of the roof can be considered to make a virtual wall, which is a concept that the Gemara talks a lot about in Masechta Eruvin, for example. However, the difference is, at least there you have that, here you don't even have that. So Rava is saying that's not going to be good. Now, we talked about on Amud Aleph, when we said that we had the various cases where you built an itztava, was that talking about it doesn't matter how tall the itztava is, or does it matter that it has to be less than 10 tefachim? So Marsha points out, in fact, according to one of you have the opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak Geis over there, one of the Rishonim in the times of the Rif, who says that, in fact, the itztava there would have to be less than 10 tefachim tall, and if it's 10 or more tall, then the rules that we said before don't apply, because then it's a reshus for itself. And therefore, here, our Gemara works out better, according to him, because that's why over here, we're first mentioning Asara Tefachim, whereas before, we didn't mention that point. On the other hand, you have different opinions about that, and you have a number of Achronim that point out that actually our Gemara would fit just as well, according to the other opinions. So now let's talk more about this matter of mechitzas and to what extent do the mechitzas have to be visible. So Tanan Rabbanan, not arba kundasim. What if a person stuck 4 poles into the ground? The sikich al gabon, and then he put schach on top of them. So you have 4 poles, you have a frame of some kind on top of them to hold up the schach, but you have no walls of the sukkah. And apparently, based on what Tosfos is saying, it sounds like also you don't have a pitikra. You don't have a smooth edge of a roof that you could now say yored v'soysim that's considered to come down and enclose the sukkah. So now, so is it kosher? Rabbi Yaakov machshir v'chachamim postim. So Rabbi Yaakov says that it's kosher, as we're going to discuss why, and the chachamim say it's possible. So why, so what's the reason behind the machloikas? First of all, what's the case? The machlokas would only be if you put those four poles by the edges of the roof. So now what you have is, when you look down between each pole and the next, you have the wall of the house. So that could be considered. So now we can apply good asik. Now we can apply that we consider that the walls of the house also are pulled upward and form virtual walls around the sukkah, according to Rabbi Yaakov. Now Rashi just says over here we don't require mechitzas hanikaros. Rashi doesn't explain explicitly why should it be different than the previous case where we just said that Rava says, and the answer is Tosfos says because at least over here the mechitzas are visible as mechitzas inside the house. An amud that we just talked about before is a solid block. There's no inside of it to see the mechitzas, whereas at least over here you can say the mechitzas themselves are visible inside the house. It's a svara that actually the Gemara mentions something similar in Eruvin in connection with certain dinim. So if it's on the edges of the roof, and by the way, also based on Gemara's and Eruvin, it would come out for this to work. Also, it would have to be that this roof. The roof, of course, is flat because that's the way roofs were in those times. But also, it would have to be that the roof doesn't stick out beyond the walls. The Gemara in Eruvin explains that to apply good asik to something something on the roof, it has to be that the walls go up until the roof, and they just meet at a corner. There's no eaves that are sticking out. Anyway, so if you have that. So then Rav Nachman says Rav Huna says that would be the machlokes. The Rav Yaakov Savar Amin and Gud Asik Mechitzasa, but Rabbanan Savri Loy Amin and Gud Asik Mechitzasa. So Rav Yaakov is going to say we apply Gud Asik, and the Chachamim are going to disagree. Now, Gud Asik itself is a halacha l'moshe v'sinai, as we're going to say later on, but Rav Huna is taking it that according to the Chachamim, that's all fine. Good asik applies by certain areas of halacha. For example, Hilchos Shabbos to declare an area Rishus HaYachid. Not necessarily would it apply by Sukkah where you need Mechitzas HaNikoras. So that's according to Rav Huna. Avo be'emtza hagag. But if you put these poles in the middle of the roof, so there's no good asik to apply, divrei hakol psula, then everybody would agree it's possible. You can't say the fact that you have four poles in the four corners, that those should count as mechitzes. You don't do that, says Rav Huna. On the other hand, Rav Nachman Omer be'emtza gag machlokas. Rav Nachman says the machlokas, Rav Yaakov and the Chachamim, is if the poles and the sukkah are in the middle of the roof. So now, what does he mean? Does Rav Nachman mean to say that if this sukkah, if it was built with the poles at the four corners of the roof, like in Rav Huna's first scenario, then everybody would agree that it's kosher, because then we would say good asif, and it's only when it's in the middle that there's machlokas. Maybe the machlokas is in both cases. Maybe according to Rav Nachman, there's a question regarding good asif. There's also a question, the question would be that Rav Nachman would be saying, Rabbi Yaakov would be saying it's kosher regardless, because the scenario is, we'd be talking about, Rashi explains, where the poles themselves are wide enough to constitute mechitzas, as we're going to talk about soon about that, where you have a concept where a pole that's at least a tefach in width and at least a tefach in length, to a certain extent can be considered a mechitza. So is it that Rabbi Yaakov holds that would be kosher regardless, even without invoking good asik, and therefore he would be machshir it whether it's by the edges of the roof or by the middle of the roof, or the chachamim would be saying when it's by the edges of the roof, then fine, good asik. When it's by the middle, then not, because we don't have good asik and we don't accept your idea about wider poles. So is that how Rav Nachman learns it, or is it bein mazu machloikas? The machloikas would be in both cases. That they'd be saying they're going to be saying no. Either way, you need mechitzas hanikaras, using good asik virtual mechitzas, or using mechitzas that are created by only poles that are one tefach wide in each direction is not enough to be considered walls. And the Gemara says teku. So we can't be sure about that. Now there is a girsa that Rav Shmuel Goin had. That says that actually takes out that last those last words of Rav Nachman and says that Rav Nachman clearly says that if it's al sfas hagag, then it would be kosher. The Rambam apparently had that girsa because the Rambam paskins that if you put the four poles by the four corners, then it is in fact kosher. So the Ravid asks on him, what do you mean? And the Gemara over here was saying, Teku, it's an isudar, it's a dindar rice over here, steak a dar rice of a chumra. And the answer is, the Noisa Kalim on the Rambam explained that in fact the Rambam must have had the same girsa as Rav Shuda Goin that doesn't have the Dilm of Bein Bezu Machloikas. So therefore, that's clear. Rav Nachman is saying that Machloikas is only when it's in the middle of the roof, not when it's on the edges. Therefore, on the edges it would for sure be kosher. We would apply good asik, and therefore we have a kosher asilka. On the other hand, the fact is, of course, we're saying that Ivan disagrees with the Rambam, but so do many other Rishonim, including the Rosh and others. Therefore, in Shulchan Aruch it brings that you can't do that because again, you have according to all the other poskim, it comes out that that would be also the subject. That it might be the subject of the machlokes of Rabbi Yaakov and the Chachamim, and because it's a suffix d'oraisa, therefore we can't do that. Okay. The Gemara continues. Maybe though, I have a contradiction. On Rav Huna. A braisa says. So again, Rav Huna's understanding was that if they put the poles by the corners of the roof, then Rabbi Yaakov says it's kosher, and the Chachamim say it's fossil. But we learn in a braisa. But on the other hand, if it was in the middle of the roof, then everybody would agree, even Rabbi Yaakov, that it's possible. But basically, the Gemara says, I have a contradiction. A braisa says, not dalad kundisin ba'aretz. If a person stuck four poles into the ground, the sikach al gabim, and he put tzchach on top of them, Rabbi Yaakov machshav acham poslin. Now, v'ha'eretz the emtsa gag gami. Now, the previous case was, we were talking about where he put it on the roof. And there you can talk about whether the walls of the house are extended upward to create good acid. But here we're talking about where it's on the ground. There's no roof underneath it. There's no walls underneath it to create good acid. So the ground is like the middle of the roof in that regard. And yet Rabbi Yaakov is saying it's kosher. Isn't that a contradiction on Rav Huna, who would say that if it was the emtsa, then everybody would agree it's possible? Someone says, you're right. It is a contradiction on Rav Huna. But then the Gemara continues, but oid, besides that, I have another question on Rav Huna. Now, we already schlugged up Rav Huna, but sometimes the Gemara likes to do that. Sometimes even we already have one way of schlugging up somebody, we say, just in case we might find an answer to that, then I'm going to bring you another one. Also, it seems from this second braisa that they're only arguing about the case of emtsa, because in this braisa it mentions clearly ba'oretz, unlike the previous braisa where it said that he put up four poles, and we didn't specify where they were, whether by the edges of the roof, whether by the middle of the roof, whether not on the roof at all. Here, this braisa specifies that we're talking about on the ground. So the emtsa hu depliki, apparently they're only arguing in the middle. It sounds like if it was by the edges of the roof, then they would both agree it's kosher. Does that mean that we have a double contradiction on Rav Huna? Number one, that the braisa clearly says that Rav Yaakov allows it on the ground. And number two, the implication, the fact that the machlokas is presented only as far as the ground, seems to be implying that if it was on the edges of the roof, then everybody would agree that it's kosher. So that's a double contradiction on Rav Huna. So lema tevet yufta Rav Huna b'tarki. Would we have to say then that is a contradiction in two aspects against Rav Huna? And the idea is, in other words, that Rabbeinu Hananel explains, in other words, the idea would be we would want to mention the case where it's on the ground and say that even then Rabbi Yaakov is machshir, because we have the rule koicha dehatera odu. Whenever we have a choice of showing how far is the opinion that's machmir going versus how far is the opinion that's meikel going, we generally try to highlight how far the one who's meikel is going. So therefore, that would explain why this braisa mentions the machlokes about the ground rather than about the edge of the roof, to show that even in that case, Rav Yaakov allows it. So then in the end, we have a double contradiction against Rav Huna. The answer is, Amalach Rav Huna, Rav Huna can say, I can answer the second one. The first one, you're right, you got me. But the second one, Rav Huna says, we can say as follows, Pligi be'emtza agag, v'hu adin al sfas agag. No, as a matter of fact, you could say they are arguing about the middle of the roof, but they also implicitly would argue about the edges of the roof. The reason why the machlokas is presented about the middle of the roof, again, in the first braisa, Rav Huna understands that it's talking about the middle of the roof, is to tell you how far Rav Yaakov goes, where he's going to say it's kosher even if it's in the middle of the roof. And again, like Rabbeinu Chananel says, because Kriha de Hateira audit. But not necessarily, says Rav Huna, do you have to learn from that they're only arguing about that case and that they would agree that it's fine, they would both agree it's fine by the edges of the roof. Because good optic, not necessarily, says Rav Huna. So okay, the fact that the second braisa clearly says that Rav Yaakov allows it on the middle, on the ground, which is like the middle of the roof, fine, that disproves Rav Huna's understanding of the machlokas, but the fact that the machlokas was presented only about the middle of the ground, that the machlokas was presented about the ground rather than the edges, that doesn't necessarily show that the Chachamim wouldn't disagree in both cases.
What het is being used for, was being used for the emtza, making it in a sidewalk or on the roof in the middle? What het?
So the emtza, the mechanism that we're using is, we're going to say now, that the kundisim, that the pillars themselves on the corners are wide enough to constitute that they could be carved out and form little tiny mechitzas, which is what we're going to talk about now.
Okay.
So, Tana Rabbana, not a bar kundasin ba'aretz v'sikach al-gabon, Rav Yaakov oy meroyin. Rav Yaakov says we have to look at how large these kundasin are. Kol she'ilo v'yechokku v'yechokku, if we were to carve them out and split them, so in other words, Rashi says, we're talking, let's say, about round pillars. So now, if they're large enough, that if you were to, first of all, square them off, if you were to plane them down or carve them down or whatever, and make them, instead of round and cross-section, make them square, and then in addition, there would still be room enough, once you made them square, to now carve out more of them in order to make them into L shapes. So that's yechokku, means we would grind them down to make them square. Yechokku means we would then divide them to make L shapes. The yeshvan tefach alkan v'tefach alkan. If then the result is that you have a tefach in one direction and a tefach in the other direction, in other words, each leg of the L is at least a tefach, then nidonin mishum diyumud, then we can count them as kosher for a sukkah on the ground that it's like a diyumud. Now, in Eruvin, it talks about, you have a case over there involving wells of water. The Oyler Regal want to be able to the Oyler Regal. When it comes to, you have wells that the Oyler Regal want to be able to give their animals to drink from. The problem is that the well is standing in Rosh Hashanah, and the bottom of the well itself would be Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So what you do is what you do is like this. So it talks about in the second parak in Eruvin. What you do is you set up diyumdin. A diyuma, the Gemara explains over there, is short for the word diyoy amud. Diyoy is a Greek prefix that means two. Amud means a pillar. So a diyuma then is a double pillar. In other words, exactly that. An L-shaped pillar that you put up in each corner. On a daraisa level, you put them on those four corners, and now it's considered that the area within those diyumdin is now considered to be a Rosh Hashanah. Therefore, now you're going to be able to bring your animal in there and draw water and give the animal to drink without carrying from one Rosh Hashanah to the other. On what mechanism the diyumdin work, the Rambam explains that what it is now you have at least the semblance of mechitzas on all sides. Every side you look towards the well, you see on one side, and on the other side, a closed-in area. Therefore, even though it's part of Smurub al-Oimid, even though you have much more open space, the Gemara in Eruvin there explains that you can have, according to different opinions, as much as 10 amos or as much as 13 and a third amos between one pole and the next. Nevertheless, that's good enough. So Rabbi Yaakov takes the same view over here, that if the pillars on the corners of the sukkah are large enough to be to function as diyumdin, then it's kosher. V'imlav ein nidonin mishum diyumud. If not, if the pillars are narrower than that, and if you yechokku v'yechokku, then you're not going to have a tefach in one leg of the El and Tefach on the other El, in the other leg, then in Nidonim, Bishum Diyumud, then they don't count as Diyumud, and then you need something, and then you don't have a kosher Sukkah. Shahoyim, Yaakov, I'm a Diyumud. Well, to be exact, actually, I mean, as long as you have three walls, then you're good. So if you have, let's say, you have two Diyumdin, like that, by two corners, and then you have, by the other edges, you have ones that are a Tefach in one direction, but not in the other direction. Okay, so you have a three-wall Sukkah, you're also good. So, Shahoy Rabbi Yaakov, I'm a Diyumdin Sukkah Tefach. Rabbi Yaakov said, when it comes to a Sukkah, you can use Diyumdin, and they can be as little as a Tefach wide. Now, when it comes to the Pasa de Rois, when it comes to the ones around wells, there you need more than that. There you actually need an Amma in each direction. So, Tosfos just says, by Mechitzas Shabbos, they're being Machmir. So by Mechitzas Shabbos, you need an Amma in each direction. Here, it's enough to have a Tefach in each direction. One reason is because over here, we're talking about to enclose a Sukkah, which after all only needs to be 7 by 7 Tefachim, so therefore there's no reason to require as much as an Amma in each direction. Okay, that's according to Rav Yaakov. No, actually, you have to have two proper walls, and the third one then can be at least a tefach. We'll talk about later on Daf Vav. We'll talk about the exact configuration of where that third tefach should be. But anyway, the Chachamim say just having Diyumdin, just having these pillars in the corners and no mechitza along the side is not good enough. So now Rabbi Yaakov is saying again that so now according to the Maskana, as we're saying, according to Rabbi Yaakov, it's enough that you have pillars that are wider than a tefach in each direction, and you can have those by the four corners, and with that you have a good sukkah, even if you can't apply good asik or anything like that. And then of course, if you can apply good asik, then Rabbi Yaakov would say that you can do that and you don't even need the pillars to be that wide. That was appointed of Nachman. Rav Huna had learned differently, but we slugged up Rav Huna's understanding of the Machlokas. So that's what we're left with. Again, given what we said before, appointed of Nachman, that the Machlokas might be in both cases, by the side or on the ground or in the middle of the roof or by the edges of the roof. And we said that we came out with Teku, so according to the Rambam, it would be fine to do it by the edges of the roof because he's not Gerdes that part. But according to the Rosh and everybody else who is Gerdes it, then it would mean that you can't do that either. You can't put poles by the corners of the roof and have that be a valid support. Next, we said in the Mishnah, the She'ena Gvoya Asara Tefachim, we said that another case where the Sukkah is possible is if it's less than 10 Tefachim tall. So, Minolon, where do we know that from? Now again, we said before that less than 10 Tefachim is a Dira Srucha, but again, we talked about a few possibilities. Maybe it's only considered a Dira Srucha if branches are actually hanging down and bumping into your face. Maybe it wouldn't be an issue without that. And therefore, the Gemara needs a source for where we say that in general, 10 Tefachim is no good. Maybe what it would be, the Pnei Yeshua brings this, is for example, like we said, you could have the walls themselves could be less than 10 tall, and then you have the Skach is much higher. And we need a source to say that that's possible, even though you can actually live comfortably in such a Sukkah, because you need Mechitzis of 10. And again, we said, according to the Rambam, that Dira Srucha is maybe only possible Dirabbanan, then we need a source that a Sukkah has to be 10 Tefachim tall, Dirais. Okay. So the Gemara says, Itman. They said the following answer. Rav, Rav Chanina, Rav Yechanan, Rav Chaviva Masni. These four Amiroyim all learned, and they all said the following thing. And before the Gemara quotes what they said, the Gemara interjects, V'kula Seder Moed, you should know that throughout the whole Seder Moed, Kol Ki Hai Zuga, whenever you have this group of Amiroyim, Rav and Rav Chanina, and Rav Yechanan, and Rav Chaviva, Chalufi Rav Yechanan, and Ma'ayli Rav Yenison. There are some Chachamim, some of the Amiroyim have a different version that the third one is not Rabbi Yochanan, but rather Rabbi Yonasan. You have at least two other places in Seder Moed where you have this grouping. Anyway, so now getting back to what did they actually say? Oren Tisha, the Oren itself was 9 Tefachim tall, as we're going to talk about later on how we know that. The Kapodas Tefach, the Kapodas above the Oren was 1 Tefach thick. The Oren, the Pasuk says, was an Amma and a half tall. An Amma is 6 Tefachim. We're going to talk about later on. We'll talk about on Hayom and Beis tomorrow, Bez Hashem, that there's actually two opinions about that. There's Reb Meir versus Reb Yehuda. Reb Meir holds that the Amma for the Kalim of the Bez Nisik was 6 Tefachim, and that Amman Paskin like him. So therefore, so it comes out that, so 6 So an amma and a half, an amma of six tvachim comes out to nine tvachim. So the oren itself, the box of the oren itself is nine tvachim. We learned about that in Yuma as well. The kapodas tefach, the kapodas is a tefach thick above it. Hare kanasara, that means from the floor of the Kodesh HaKadoshim until the top of the kapodas is ten tvachim. Uchtiv, and Hashem tells Moshe, v'nai adti l'choshom, I will meet with you over there in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, v'dibarti itcha me'al ha-kapodas, and I will speak with you from above the kapodas. So, v'tanya, and we learn in a b'raisa, Rabbi Yossi Omer, me'olam lo yoda shechina l'mata, the shechina never came out all the way down to the ground. It always remained at least 10 tefachim off the ground. So therefore, when we say that the shechina came ala kapodas, then that means above 10 tefachim. So what does that show? In other words, that 10 tefachim is considered a separate reshus. So here we're talking about a sukkah needs to be, it needs to have mechitzis, which mark off a reshus. Therefore, we're saying because of that, the mechitzis has to be 10 tefachim tall. So Rabbi Yossi says that the Shechina never came all the way down to earth. And vice versa, when Moshe and Eliyahu, it says they went up to Shemayim, they didn't actually go all the way up. They stayed, as the Gemara is going to say, below 10 tefachim. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Shemayim, Shemayim, Hashem, Ba'aretz, Nasam, Nimeadam. The pasuk says that the heavens are the heavens of Hashem, the earth he gave to human beings. So therefore, there's always a separation. Now you have, there's the famous Medrash that the Rebbe quoted, in general, it's quoted in Chassidus innumerable times, that says that before Matan Torah, there was a complete separation between Shemayim and Oretz, between Ruchnius and Gashmius, and then they have the famous Moshe, where the Medrash says, like, there was once a law that Romans are not allowed to go to Syria, and then Bnei Syria are not allowed to come to Rome until the king says, so the emperor says I'm repealing the law from now on. They can go, they can travel from one to the other. V'ani amastil, and I'll begin. V'yerud Hashem al har Sinai. But all Gemara is saying, fine, that mechitza was broken, but nevertheless, the Shechina, when it comes down to earth, still remains above 10 tefachim. So therefore, because it remains above the kapodas, and we're saying the kapodas is 10 tefachim tall. There is an interesting idea that's mentioned about this, that it represents the idea of Bechira Chofshis, that still, as much as the Shechina comes down to earth, if the Shechina with Atonim Hosa, a person still has Bechira Chofshis, so therefore, like, the Eibishter still leaves a zone where the Shechina isn't, and that provides you Bechira Chofshis. There's a place in Chassidus, there's a mimer of the Friedrich Rebbe by Dabri Elokimus called Varon Eilat Tzadik Tes, where he talks about the idea that the Asara Tzfochim over here that we're talking about over here, Malchus of Atzilus. So he explains over there, in other words, that what could happen is that by Matan Torah, Malchus of Atzilus was revealed, but how? You have a few different possibilities. You could have that just a Ha'ora of it is revealed. You could have that it's completely Nislavish, that it's completely vested in Biyah. Or you could have that it's revealed, it itself is revealed, but it's not actually being slavish. And then the Friedrich Rebbe says of it, you can't say it was only a ha'ora, because after all, after Horesel Adas and all that, it couldn't have been nislavish because the world was not yet a keli for it. Well, also lover, the world will be a keli for it, and then it can be l'matam asara tvachim. But we're at Matan Torah, we weren't there yet. Therefore, what we mean is over here that it was l'mailam asara tvachim in the sense it's revealed in our world, but not in a way that it's actually nislavish in our world in the spirit of biyah. Okay. So the Gemara asks, "Lo yoda shchina l'mata? You're telling me the shchina never came all the way down to earth?" The positive is Hashem came down on Har Sinai. And the answer is l'mayla ma'asara tefachim. Even then, it was above 10 tefachim. We have the whole thing that the Rashi brings on the positive that Hashem, so to speak, bent down the heavens onto Har Sinai and came down on them. But still, the Gemara is saying there's still that different zone. It is in our world, but it's still above 10 tefachim in our world. Okay, what about, so different reshus within our world? Obviously, for example, a sukkah is 10 tefachim, doesn't make it outside of our world, but it means the different reshus. So the same way the Shechina was in a different reshus within our world. Okay, v'haksiv, you have l'osid lavoi, it says after the war, by the war of Gog and Magog, it says v'omnu ragla b'yemahu al harazesim, it says that the feet of Hashem's Shechina will stand on harazesim. So on the face of it, standing on there means right down there on the ground. And again, the answer is l'mayla ma'asara tefachim. It was still above 10, it's still going to be above 10 tefachim from the ground. It's still not all the way down on the ground. What about the other way around? Although Moshe Eliyahu Lamorim, you're telling me that Moshe Rabbeinu and Eliyahu did not go all the way up to heaven. Moshe Ola Elohim, the pasuk says Moshe went up to Hashem. And the answer is again, Lamata Masara. Moshe is higher than our world, but he's still within 10 tefachim of the ground. What about Baksiv Bayal Eliyahu Basa'ora Hashemayim? It says that Eliyahu went up in a whirlwind to Shemayim. And again, the answer is Lamata Masara. Nevertheless, he stayed below 10 tefachim. Okay. Nevertheless, though, the fact is, even below 10 tefachim, you still have, it says, Elisha, Elisha didn't see him anymore, and he tore Kriya for him, and then called out, Ovi Rechav Yisrael Farosha. Because fine, he may still be here in our world, and Eliyahu especially keeps coming back to our world, but nevertheless, he may even be Lamachim Asar Tefachim, but we're not seeing him, Mitfleisha Ka'ogid, and therefore that's reason enough for him to tear Kriya about it. Okay. What about, going back to Moshe Rabbeinu, so you're telling me that Moshe remained within 10 tefachim, but the pasuk in Iyov describes Ma'achez Pnei Kiseh, he's holding on to the front of the Kiseh HaKavod, Parshez Olav Anonoi, Parshez over him his cloud. Now, what does the word Parshez mean? V'amar Rav Tanchum, Melamed Shepiresh Shakai Miziv Shechinosei V'Anonoi Olav. It means that Hashem spread out some of the glory of his Shechina and his cloud over Moshe. In other words, the word Parshez is short for Piresh Shakai Ziv. So in other words, the pasuk is describing how the Gemara tells us in Shabbos, when Moshe went up to Har Sinai to receive the Torah, from Malachim start arguing, what are you doing giving the Torah down on earth? It belongs up here with the Malachim, and Moshe had to argue against them. So therefore, and the Gemara says over there that Moshe says to Hashem, I'm afraid the Malachim are going to burn me up. So Hashem says, hold on to my Kiseh HaKavod, and you'll be able to respond to them. And the pasuk is describing that. So we see that Moshe is actually holding on to the Kiseh HaKavod. So again, first the Gemara answers, okay, Lamachim Asara. Again, it means Moshe is below 10 tefachim. But the question is, but it says he's holding on to the front of the Kiseh HaKavod, and the Kiseh HaKavod is truly higher than ten tefachim. The answer is Hashem lowered down. Hashem ishtabubi literally means stretched out. So Hashem stretched out Kiseh HaKavod until part of it is at 10 tefachim, and then Moshe, who's below 10 tefachim, is able to grab a hold of that. But not that the Shekhinah actually came down below 10 tefachim. There are a couple of places in my modem of the Mittel Rebbe and other places where it seems to say that we're talking about over here when the Shekhinah is accompanied by the Merkava, which I guess is similar to what the Gemara is saying over here, that when it's on the Kiseh HaKavod, then it doesn't come below Asara. Whereas when it's not accompanied by the implication seems to be that when it's not accompanied by the Merkava, then maybe it would be able to come Lamata Asara. Okay. In any case, so far what we're saying is that above 10 tefachim is considered a separate reshus. Therefore, that's what tells us, therefore, that mechitzis, for them to be defined as mechitzis, and a sukkah requires mechitzis, you need to have that they're at least 10 tefachim tall, and there's our source that a sukkah has to be at least 10 tefachim tall. Okay, and we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, with discussing the Aron itself, where we see that the Aron itself is 10 tefachim tall, and then discuss that whole issue. That the Aron itself is 9 tefachim tall is easy enough. Yeah, as we said, the pasuk says an amma and a half, but that the kapodos was a tefach thick, that we have to figure out. That's going to take up most of the Gemara tomorrow.
Yeshikoyah.